From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Is the Supreme Court going to be in the pocket of Donald Trump? I don't think so, but there's an opinion piece over at the old Politico that says that that might be the case, and I think that they're totally wrong about that. Tennessee passes a law, allows teachers to have guns at school, concealed carry, which I can think of probably nothing worse to do. I mean, armed guards is one thing.
Yeah.
But to say into, you know, Mrs. Brannigan from the art department that she can carry around a 45 ACP as long as it's underneath her scarf, that seems a little...
I was just pinning my brooch and it went off.
I'm just saying, like, there's a kid's going to get shot by a teacher, or a kid's going to get his hands on a gun or her hands on a gun from one of these. Like, there's a difference between an armed guard and a teacher who says, goes out and gets their concealed carry and then is walking around with it.
You're
going
to hate my take on this. You're going to hate it.
Is this a bad take?
I like it, so it must be horrible.
We won't know until we officially play the music to see if Spike is about to have a bad take
well,
or
we,
not.
Well, we can get back. Want me to start with a story?
Let's get right into
Spike's
it.
Spike's going to have a bad take.
Everybody loves a bad take, and here comes Spike.
I like this rule. Okay. I like this law.
Yeah.
I don't think that every teacher should be required to strap up and go to the range, but I think if you've got teachers on staff and they're trained, a lot of teachers maybe they have military backgrounds, I don't know. I think knowing that there are one or two people who are capable and willing to be armed on a school grounds may be enough of a deterrent to keep somebody from taking the door of the school.
Spike O'Neill with the base take right here. Very base.
I'm not saying Mrs. Johnson at the art class or Mrs. Ginsworth, who is still trying to teach American history from a book that was a textbook printed in 1972,
right,
where the president stopped at Nixon. You know, you're right. There are going to be some instances where maybe some kid will get a hold of a gun.
Right. And I'm just saying,
I hope that's not the case. But if there's a guy on or a woman on staff, former military veteran.
Yeah.
I'm not, when I saw this story and I had that truly heartfelt take on this, it put me in a loop. I don't usually feel this way. You know how I feel about guns. They scare me.
Sure.
They're the technology of the devil.
I'm as pro-gun as it gets, I'd rather have, in the way that I see it, I'd rather have school resource officers have guns, and I'd rather have highly trained individuals rather than, I don't know, Mr. Rayner, who maybe has a little bit too much firewater in the Gatorade. You know
Mr.
what I'm talking
Casey,
about?
Casey, the shop teacher of three fingers that I had. I had that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
You're not wrong. There's a lot of danger and pitfalls that could come from this this ruling. But there's something in the back of my mind that says a well-trained teacher who is armed, if that's in the back of some shooter's mind, maybe it's enough to keep him out of school.
Look at the fascists over at the University of Texas at Austin who are just rounding up those kids in their riot gear with no badges. Wow. If you could. So what we're looking at right now is the live feed of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, and he is speaking at Columbia University about the horrific anti-Semitism and rioting that's basically going on there. And then right next to that, there is a group of police officers, some of whom have their badges on display, most of whom do not, who are in full riot gear, who are now breaking up that group of kids. I got to say, I don't like the whole riot cops not wearing badges thing. These are unidentified police officers just walking around with batons, and this is a fascist America, right?
That is a horrific scene.
That is a horrific scene.
This is UT in Austin, Texas, University of Texas in Austin.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
And also, it's got to be very humid underneath those bulletproof
vests. Well, it's only April. Couldn't do this in August.
All right. So we'll touch back in with that event because they've got live feed right now of University of Texas, and it looks like something's going on, but we'll let you know what's going on as soon as we find out more information about that. Speaking of other places that are not Seattle, GOP-controlled Arizona House votes to repeal a Civil War-era abortion ban. This is good for many reasons. One, the abortion ban is based off of an 1864 law that is 2 weeks. It is so narrow and so small that there's no possible way.
There's no way that any woman would know what their physical status is.
Right.
With the timeline. And this law from 1864 was written before the was a territory.
Yeah.
This is the same law in the books that says it's okay if your kid dies during punishment. It's okay. That's how ridiculously antiquated this point of view was when this particular law was put in place. So the Arizona Supreme Court passed this about 3 weeks ago, and everybody started backpedaling from this law. You know, even the elected officials in Arizona started backpedaling from it. President Trump backpedaled from it.
Carrie Lake backpedaled.
Well, she flopped. I don't know if you saw this week's news.
I did see. She said she actually liked it.
She's a waffle.
Ben Shapiro backed off of it. Everybody backs off of it because the problem with talking about abortion from the perspective of trying to cater to the crowd, appeal to the audience, is that it works. But you're not bridging any gaps, right? Nope. When you have this hardline stance on abortion, I say this as a pro-life person. And so what happens is that the talking points get higher and higher and higher and higher, and the rhetoric gets more heated and more heated and more heated and more heated. And then you end up at a point where you're not actually talking about the medical necessity of abortion as a procedure that does save lives. You're talking about everything else except for the actual issue at hand. And that's how you end up with this, which just makes it just embarrassing for the GOP. The bill passed 32-28. Republican State Representative Tim Dunn and Justin Wilmeth joined Representative Matt Gaetz and all Democrats.
Yeah.
Wow. And I mean, this is what the GOP gets, right? They want it. They want it. They want it. They want it. And then they get it. And then they get egg on their face.
Oops, this loses elections.
This loses elections. Yeah. And then they back off.
There's going to be a ballot measure in November in Arizona codifying abortion rights into state law.
Mm-hmm.
With this being repealed, it was repealed again today, they will now revert to the existing law in the books, which is a 15-week ban on abortion.
Okay.
And that's still, again, in November, there's going to be a state referendum on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm reading into this story, because this news just broke, they've voted to repeal this law. Now, here's the weird thing about Arizona politics, which is just so weird. The law schedule is going to affect June 8th.
Mm-hmm.
When the 1864 law will go on the books and become the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be, the repeal won't take effect until 90 days after the legislative session ends.
Yeah.
And there's no targeted set hard date for the legislative session to end.
Well,
so there's going to be a window where this law is in place.
I looked into that, though, and apparently there's something to do with the judiciary in Arizona. Arizona has kooky laws. Apparently,
seriously,
a judge is going to have to rule on that, and then it's going to go into effect.
So,
does that make sense?
No. Well, a little. Is it going to start on June 8th?
Because you've got two. No, but you've got two overlapping laws that directly contradict each other.
Right.
And so basically you're going to have to do a bunch of bureaucratic nonsense and then it's going to be a thing.
So they're never going to go back to 1864 when you put the time machine away?
Yeah, that's going to go away. Right.
Okay,
so,
good.
That's super fun. But, you know, again, Republicans have a real branding issue. Because the main funding apparatus for the GOP is evangelical Christians. That's where they get the majority of their money is evangelical Christians.
Wow.
Evangelical Christians, very hard line on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So as a GOP politician, you have to cater to that base almost all of the time. Unless you live in a more moderate state or unless you live in a state that's largely controlled by Democrats. And then you can get your funding from other places. But then you end up in this circumstance where you get the thing that you want. This is the thing that your base and your funding base wants,
right.
But it loses you elections. And this is why the party system in so many ways fails not only the people of the United States, but the people who are within that party system.
Right. Well put.
It is something that the GOP really needs to reconcile with. And the funny thing is that people always say, Jack, why are you so critical of the GOP? Because they need it. Right? Because you need...
Because you care? Yeah, you've got conservative values.
It's more so along these lines, my guy. It's more like you can't have this kind of draconian worldview where you're discounting science and medicine because of your funding base, right?
Right,
like,
right.
This is kind of hard addiction talk, but you're doing this insanity over and over and over again, and you're getting the same results over and over and over and over again. Wouldn't you want to straight talk in somebody to say, hey, Uncle Tom, maybe you're drinking too much, malt liquor. You see what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
There's
yeah.
this really bizarre thing that's going on with the GOP where they're just intoxicated off of all the money that they get from the evangelical base. And then they go out and they pass crazy laws that nobody likes. Not a human being other than that funding base.
Right,
and then they go, whoops-a-doo. Hey, speaking of, by the way, Google has decided to fire more workers who protested its deal with Israel. You know, maybe we should do this, actually. You and I aren't ladies, but
nope.
We do have ladies in the studio.
We do. This is a very base.
Laura, I'm curious about this, being that I am not a lady and you are a lady. When you see something like the Arizona abortion ban, how doth it make you feel as a woman? Doth it make you feel perturbed, mayhap?
It makes me feel bad.
Okay.
Not safe and protected? Like
no,
we intended?
No. Not wrapped in the loving arms of the pro-life movement. No.
Fair.
How does it...
makes me feel angry.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like, well, it doesn't make me feel, my rights are being encroached upon.
Yeah.
And I think a threat to this right in any state is a threat to that right in every state.
Based. Very based indeed. Nora?
I mean, I think I just am afraid for the snowball effect.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate fear to have, right?
That, well, when you have a political party talking about a national ban and a primary or a lead candidate, a presumptive nominee saying one thing one day and something else the next day, you never know what you're going to get when the pen comes across the desk.
Yeah.
I can see what would be a snowball fear, you know, that this could... We were always told that Roe v. Wade was settled law, was precedent upon precedent.
Sure.
When judicial nominees were being... questioned in confirmation hearings. No, it's precedent upon precedent upon precedent, and yet here we are in 2024 with laws and rights being repealed for half the citizenry.
It's very, very sad indeed. Google fires more workers who protested its deal with Israel. If you don't know, Google supplies a bunch of different militaries in a bunch of other countries around the United States with cloud networking services or storage services or whatever it might be. There are employees at Google that are not happy about this, and they have protested and they have threatened to violate their NDAs as to how that system works because it's classified, right? I mean, this is pretty top-notch technology, and you have all these people who are coming out and saying that they are going to try to some way disrupt that system, right?
I mean, they're sitting at desk with the opportunity to maybe sabotage the system.
Sabotage, right? Nicholas. You know what I'm talking about, my friend. Sabotage! Project Nimbus is going down, baby. So when people, like I was reading this thing, they were saying, well, you're violating their free speech or whatever. I don't know if we had somebody working here. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Let's say that it's somebody that has been a bit of a rabble-rouser around here. Let's say it's Joseph, right? Slow Joe Wallace.
Okay.
And let's say that Slow Joe Wallace says, I don't like the fact that you guys are always in there talking about, oh, I don't know, eating healthy greens and teriyaki chicken.
Yeah, your affinity for kale.
Your affinity for kale is what he says to me. And so he says, if you guys keep doing that, I'm going to do something. Potentially something bad could happen to the studio. And then all of a sudden we walk in and the mics are unplugged. We would understand that that's not a violation of Joe's free speech. That no. We would understand that he's actually trying to sabotage.
And his employment could be at risk at that moment.
And his employment could be at risk.
Yeah.
So when I see this and I see it's Google's aims are clear. Their corporation is attempting to quash dissent, silence its workers, and reassert its power over them. You mean having a job? You mean having a job? What? What is this? In its attempts to do so, Google has decided to unceremoniously and without due process upend the livelihoods of over 50 of its own workers. Maybe don't tell the boss you're going to break their $1.2 billion toy if they don't listen to you. Like, what? This is inane madness. If you say that you don't want to work on it anymore and you're going to violate your NDA, yeah, you're gone. Sorry. Am I a bad person for having that position?
Yeah.
Laura, you're a leftist. You're a filthy socialist. Am I a bad person for having that position?
Are you a bad person? No.
Thank you. That's all. You can just keep moving on.
That was some surgical answering right there. They want due process. Okay, do this, and we'll begin the process of kicking your ass to the curb.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't see what the issue is.
You don't get to violate your work agreement and then complain that it's an infringement on your free speech.
Right. On top of that, it says that Google said it fired the additional workers after its investigation gathered details from coworkers who were physically disrupted, and it had identified employees who used masks and didn't carry their staff badges to hide their identities. I mean, it's like, come on. Like, I will get written up if I walk into this building without my beep boop to get in and out of the building. Do you know what I mean?
Seriously. Or if you hide your identity in a company like Google, I mean, we know everybody here.
Right.
In a company like Google, there are so many people come and go, and there's literally thousands of employees. Somebody's got a mask on and no badge on. They don't intend to do the good work of the company.
I don't know everybody here. Who's that guy in the office next to Brian's office? Who's that guy? Is that jolly guy who's always here? I think what's his name? His name's like Chucky or something.
Chuckles. Charles Harger.
Is that who
that
is?
The news director of Cairo News Radio.
What's his job?
The fun police. He's a guy that should not be fun. No, Charlie's actually the firewall between opinion and hard news facts.
Okay, because I don't know half the people in this building, because I don't care about half the people in this building, right? So it's like I walk in here and people know my name. Like, who's that guy with the curly hair who sits in the office just outside of Brian's office? The guy who's super ripped. Who's that guy?
The guy with the window that looks at everyone.
The guy with the window who looks at everybody. I don't remember what that guy's name is either. He's just always eating hard-boiled eggs and talking about
peanut butter. Yeah.
Peanut butter. Talking about
Lean Jacob.
Is that what his name is?
Yes.
He is it. That guy is, he looks like he could lift crazy amounts of weight, right? Hey, speaking of, by the way, there's this piece over in Politico talking about the, you know, maybe we should save this story, Spike, because it's such a good story.
Yeah, we've got a limited amount of time.
We've got a limited amount of time, but we have, so Trump's got this bid for immunity from prosecution that he's taken all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, first it was Judge Chutkan in D.C., and said, no, 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 the president is not above the law. So he appealed to the D.C. Circuit.
Right.
Who then, in a three-judge decision, wrote a 38-page review saying, no, you can't shoot somebody. Yeah, and Trump took that as his is right, because we don't have a two-tier justice system.
Mm-hmm.
Took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And this happened back in December. The appellate court decision was in February.
Right.
Supreme Court's going to actually hear the argument tomorrow as to whether or not the oral arguments as to whether or not the president of the United States, by the virtue of occupying the office, is immune to any law of
and
prosecution.
They have not changed their legal argument around this, which
Trump's
is,
lawyers, you mean?
Yeah. This, Trump's lawyers are just making such a massive mistake in attempting to argue this in front of the Supreme Court. We're going to push this story because I want to do a deep dive into it, because we actually have the audio from his lawyers.
The lawyer's argument, yeah.
Because they haven't changed it. And you would imagine that if you want to, you know, win a case, you might want to, I don't know, take the argument that didn't win people over and alter it ever so slightly.
We're going to give a chance to do your homework again. Oh, same paper. Okay.
Running a marathon has become a milestone for a growing number of young adults. Thankfully, Nora is a runner. I'm a runner. Spike, you are known.
I'm a sitter. I'm a sitter.
I'm also part of the sitting community.
Yeah, I got a half K coming up.
Are you one of these people who says, I choose to run 13 miles to prove that I'm not getting older? Because if you are one of those people, or if you're not one of those people, you got to hear this, because apparently it's coming all the rage. People are documenting their journey. Is it cringe or is it based? We'll discuss when we get back right after this. I am like Charleston Heston in Omega Man.
Or based.
I dressed up like a princess so many times.
Cringe or based, a fun game we like to play every day, 1:34. I gotta say, we were gonna talk about this running thing, Spike, but I just saw this ad for a product. They basically, it was like a horror movie. It was a commercial for a product for the elderly. It was preceded by a commercial that I was going to talk about, which it's a placeformom.com.
Okay, yeah.
Which I thought, well, that's a little belittling, because mom's not a set of teacups, right?
It's yeah.
A place is for an object. A home is for a human being, right? So
yeah.
A little belittling to our senior citizens out there. But then the commercial that I just saw sent chills up my spine.
A Place for Mom didn't, but this other one did?
The one following it.
Okay.
Chills up my spine. It was for Acorn Stair Chair.
Oh, the lift chairs.
But it starts out with an elderly man. He's walking up the stairs with his cane.
Mm-hmm.
Drops his cane. Long shot of the cane tumbling down the stairs in slow motion.
As a metaphor for him.
Smash cut to a gentleman. He's trying to get up the stairs. Grandkids put toys all over the place.
Oh.
It's a veritable landmine, right? This is assured death. Destined death awaits grandpa.
Did they use a real elderly person?
They
for
most
this?
Certainly did. Not a stunt person. And then they show a woman attempting to navigate the stairs downward. No power. Thunderstorm. What are we to do, Mr. O'Neill? This is terrifying.
I guess people. Grandma's going to just have to perish up on that upper floor.
This is
when
like
the hurricane hits.
If I had ambulation issues, if I was ambulatory deficient, I would be terrified by watching that commercial, because it makes something as innocuous as a set of stairs look like the Cambodian killing fields. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You are taking a set of stairs, which is, I don't know, maybe one of the carpeted stairs, mind you, maybe one of the most user-friendly pieces of technology to everybody except for Joe Biden that has ever existed, and you are making it into something akin to what Indiana Jones had to go through in the Temple of Doom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is not the kind of advertising that we need to be giving to people who already have heart issues. They already have a little bit of an issue with the old ticker.
Yeah.
And now you're telling them that the one thing in their home that is supposed to, you know, help them
right.
get from A to B, which is convenient because it's not even at an angle to such a degree that you have to walk up it, but there are steps, increments, taking yeah. you all the way up. And now you are literally on the verge of death, going not up, not only up, but also down.
There's no safe way to. But you know what you're doing, though, when you see that?
Hmm.
You're picking up the phone. You're calling the Stair Angels. They're coming over today. You don't want your mom living through, dying through that.
I would rather be taken out by a set of stairs, right, than a robot chair, which is slow death. Do you know what I mean? When you accept robot chair into your life, you are accepting death at that point.
You're waving the flag of surrender.
I'm done, death. Come get me, baby. I'm ready to go. Because here's the thing. They are all the people that they're showing on the acorn stair machine, smiling, passive faces, just waiting for the Grim Reaper to come meet them at the bottom of the stairs. Sitting is objectively one of the worst activities that you can engage in, right?
Yes.
Going up and down stairs is good for you. You are moving your body. It's a low form of exercise, zone 2 exercise. It's very, very good for you. The reason that people get worse, like you ever hear that story about like a 65-year-old guy goes for jogs, then he falls, breaks his ankle.
Sure, loses the ability to exercise.
Dead 2 months later.
That's right.
When you stop moving, you die, right? It's pretty basic.
People who retire don't get to enjoy any golden years because as soon as you stop moving, Grim Reaper doesn't.
That's
he's
what
he's
saying.
On you.
So what you're telling me is that my rascal scooter shall meet me at the bottom of the stairs after I get out of my acorn stair chair.
Mm-hmm.
It'll drop me off. I'll get into my rascal scooter. I'll speed on over down to the kitchen or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not, human beings are not designed to live this way. We're designed to have a certain amount of friction in our lives, right?
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
is, this that ad was designed to scare people into buying an overpriced robot chair, which will ultimately lead them to death.
By the way, this hour of the Jack and Spike Show, no longer brought to you
no
by...
No longer... sorry. Now brought to you by Stair Chair.
By
the Acorn Stair Chair, baby. Get yours. Easy financing.
Get it for the Reaper shows.
This baby, you got a cup holder in the back, baby. You take one or two, holds up to 1,000 pounds. I mean, this is... Americans are like, we just welcome death. I don't understand what it is. We're just I guess I'll just die now.
You are so young. I'm young Jedi. Those days are coming for a lot of people, buddy. I got to tell you, there's going to come a day in my future where the stairs are no longer a viable option for
you. Lie.
I'm telling you.
Are you having a hard time getting up another stairs?
No, I'm not there yet.
Right.
But, you know, I'm 20 years from now, maybe.
Would you ever entertain the idea of a stair chair?
No, I'd move to a one-level house. You know, no power. Excuse me. I was about to say some no. No, I wouldn't. Thank you for asking. And those carpeted stairs, thump, 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 on your butt. Come on, Grandma.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Let's have a fun day teaching Grandma how to slide down the stairs on her bum.
And then they show the loving wife next to her husband, and he's talking about how the stair chair has saved their relationship. Was she carrying you? What do you mean it saved? Did it help you solve your marital disputes? Like, what are you talking about, old man?
Was it like, sorry, we can't tonight. I just climbed the stairs and that's all the juice
that's
I had?
That's all I got in my system, babe. Sorry about that. I can't help you out.
Do they play Saving All My Love for You as you go up the stairs, chair?
I mean, this is like, what is this like weird? Like, robots should not be a part of our lives. We should get, Andrew, back me up on this. The stair chair is not an invention that anybody needs. Please back me up on this.
I mean, it's a lot to ask someone to move just because of a staircase.
Andrew, how could you let me down in this way, my friend? I've backed
you
up.
This is how young people get nice houses, Andrew.
You're asking someone to completely relocate themselves and pay for a new house just because they grew up in a house that has stairs in it?
Well, thankfully, there's a place for mom.com, Andrew. Come on. That's what we call a callback in the comedy business.
That's a nice organization, by the way.
I have a way to improve. I have a way to improve the stair chair.
Okay.
It's not a chair anymore.
Okay.
It is a lift. So you stand on it, right?
Okay.
And then, like a magic carpet ride, you just start, I like to dream, and you go all the way.
It hovers you up all the way
it
up.
It hovers you all the way up, right? Steppenwolf is playing in the background every time you get on it, right? Bam, 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 bam. And you're just, I like to dream. Ride it, ride a ladder, cyber seam. And then you just go up the stairs and down the stairs, but you're standing the whole time.
Okay.
On an actual, you know,
a platform. A safe, with a handrail, because moving like that up could be trouble.
By the way, the stair chair has a seatbelt on it. A seatbelt. What is the world coming to? It's not the Indy 500, right? It's not NASCAR. It's going less than
a mile an hour.
There is no, a butterfly will beat you to the top of the stairs in the stair chair, and now you're telling me that you need a seatbelt for safety reasons.
Sure.
For safety reasons,
thanks,
Grandma.
OSHA.
Are there any senior citizens out there that are on my level with this, or am I being condescending? Nora, can you check the text line for me? This is important. Is there anybody out there that says that I'm wrong about this? Because I'm willing to be wrong about this.
That people do, in fact, need a stair chair, the Acorn stair chair.
I'm not talking about people who are like paraplegics.
Okay, no, you're talking about are we inviting death by no longer taking the stairs?
Yes, okay. That's what I'm talking
about. There's some concern about falling down the stairs being a bigger danger.
Okay.
Than mobility and ambulatory, what do you call it?
Ambulation?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a valid argument. Yeah. Now I just feel bad. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. 888-973-5476. That's the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Any question that your heart desires, we shall answer it at 888-973-5476. We'll be right back right after this. There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers.
Ah, yes, no stupid questions. A segment where I never get mad, I never rage at anybody, I never insult anybody, and I most certainly am not passive-aggressive. Great question from Steve-O. Says, which is worse, CCP or MAGA disinformation or misinformation or radical left lies? It depends on what issue, right? So the CCP, very, very bad. We all know that. MAGA disinformation is probably the worst right now in American politics.
It's the most pervasive.
Probably the most damaging, yep. I think, yep. Because it is. Because, like, radical left lies are what, right? If we had to think about what the radical left lies about. Probably hierarchies, I would say that's a big one. Dominance hierarchies, they really don't understand that very well. So basically, like this idea that if you were to remove, you know, workers should own the means of production.
Okay, yeah, okay,
that
I gotcha.
Everyone kind of collectively votes in this co-op in order to run an organization.
That are contrary to the whole, the capitalist democratic societies that we have
yeah,
today.
Yeah, okay, pretty I'll much, I would yeah. say that. I mean, but MAGA disinformation right now is so bad that you MAGA people don't even know, they can't even really distinguish between what's true and what's a lie. You know, like they don't. I saw this MAGA rally the other day where they were interviewing a woman and she was complaining and complaining and complaining about the COVID stimulus packages under Joe Biden and how they caused all the inflation. The interviewer said, how do you feel about the Trump stimulus packages? And she said, with great confidence, he never did that. He tried to open everything back up. And then the interviewer said, here's the article about him signing that into law.
Right.
And then she said, that's not real. That's fake news. This, you know what I mean? That's a kind of disinformation that is so dangerous and so pervasive to the way that people think, or even that, you know, deep state Michael Flynn, that the storm is coming and they're going to arrest the Clintons and the right. Bilderbergs and right. all that stuff. Right. I mean, this is just, it's just bad. MAGA is a really, really unfortunate political movement that is just wrought with fascists and awful people. Sorry, I'll say it, right? I mean, I don't really care. You can be a Trump person and not a MAGA person. That, you know, it's fair to if you have that opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You can definitely be a conservative or a Republican without being a MAGA person.
Yeah, but MAGA in general, you know, is largely made up of people who are, oh man, I got to try so hard to be
nice.
What
other questions
here.
Do we have, Jack?
I got to try. Let me see if I can be super, super nice about it. MAGA people are people who care very much about their country, and they are also incredibly undereducated about the complexities of living in a neoliberal system. And as a result of that, there is a significant amount of cognitive dissonance that cannot be resolved through diet, cherry, Dr. Pepper, and Whataburger. Do you see what I'm saying?
Like, I do.
You can't eat your feelings away when we're talking about the state and our relationship to the nation state. You got to think about it. And they choose to allow other people to do their thinking for them largely. And thus, they are probably the most misinformed, if not the most undereducated on almost every political issue that has taken place in the United States to the point where they say that Donald Trump is the greatest president who ever lived.
I wouldn't hold it against somebody who walked onto a bridge that said, this bridge is safe, this is a bridge been checked by the Army Corps of Engineers,
yeah.
and then the bridge drops out from under you. I would blame the misinformation,
exactly.
not the bridge user.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel the same way about people who don't know how to find true information.
That's a great way to put that. Let's see. John in Maple Valley said, I'd love to hear a segment on all the hotels we bought to house the homeless. Are they ready for use? Who's managing them? And what's the vacancy rate? What's the turnover? To my knowledge, the six that had been purchased, a lot of them are still getting retrofitted. One of them has to have that meth lab
right.
cleanup.
Yeah,
and that's months of work, right?
If not a years of work, because right. you've got to literally, I don't know if you can even ever reclaim this property to the point of the texter. It's still sitting empty.
Yeah.
It's still behind perimeter fencing to keep the public safe from the hazmat that we overspent money on. To put the homeless in. And I understand the value of these empty properties and then contracting with the property owners. The point earlier about the buildings being torn down.
Yeah.
Those things. You know, if you can make these equitable places to help our community move forward with folks who need help, then by all means.
I actually agreed with Monson on this issue because I think he was totally right about it. Because he used to say that these were bought in haste to try to make a political point, but they weren't actually gone over with a fine-tooth comb.
The due diligence right. was not due.
Which is why like a yeah. $7 million building was paid $20 million for
yes.
on, you know, sight unseen.
Right, because it was virtue signaling. That's right,
yeah,
you're exactly
yeah.
right.
So I think that Monson had the best take on that, and we could do a follow-up on it. But to my knowledge, they're still being either retrofitted or they're still being updated. But that's not to say that these kinds of programs won't work in the future.
I'll do some looking into this and find exactly where they stand and we'll report on this in the future.
Cool. Thank you so much for that one. That's actually a very good question from John in Maple Valley.
Yep.
I really like that one. Take a really quick break. When we get back, Mr. Rivers has an eye appointment, so he will not be joining us. The Supreme Court is in the tank for Trump. I don't think so. I think that they're totally wrong about this over at Politico. I think that this is a very bad take from whoever wrote this. The Seattle Freeze. Is it now the Seattle Smug? I think so. And Washington receives $150 million to implement solar lower energy costs. Don't you need the sun for solar panels?
Oh, you're going to be so excited about how the solar works.
I'm looking out the window. I'm not seeing a whole lot of sun out there. I'm seeing nothing, basically. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.